Well, we're in John chapter 13 this morning. I appreciate everyone being in God's house this morning. We're going to go through a few verses this morning. And I have a message I believe that I know that the Lord gave to me for this morning. I'm excited about preaching it. And man, I can't get over that song. It was such a beautiful song. You know, it's very convicting, really, because if you're like me, there are days that seem busier than others. And some days, the reason we may not be amazed that God wants to spend the day with us is because we don't spend any time with Him. We don't make the time to spend with Christ. And it is amazing that the Savior of the universe, the Creator of the whole universe, wants to spend time with us. He wants to spend time with the prayer warriors and the teenagers and the adults. He wants to spend time with us. What a thought that is. Every day I'm amazed. We're in John chapter 13 this morning. What we'll do is, for introduction's sake, we're going to go through the verses we just read. So if you have your Bibles, make sure you're still in John chapter 13, and we will read through the verses, and I will be done in time. And so let's focus, teenagers especially, hope you have your Bibles open, to John chapter 13. And let's look at verse 1. It says in verse 1, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end." Isn't that a great phrase? He loved them unto the end. Praise the Lord. Listen, when we come to the end of our rope, Jesus loves us through it all. He does. And I know what the verse is talking about, His disciples here, but man, I think of His love for me in my life, that although I mess up and make mistakes and fail so often, man, He loves me and He never stops loving me. Praise the Lord for that. He loved them unto the end. "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He was come from God and went to God," verse 4, look at this, "He rises from supper." And that wasn't common in these times for someone that's eating to just get up. "He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself." Now just imagine, as Jesus is sitting there with His disciples and they're eating, and this is the Last Supper, this is the end, the final hours. And as they're eating and spending these moments together, and Jesus has already told His disciples that He was going to be leaving, and they didn't believe Him, but He was telling them, and He gets up and takes a towel and girds Himself and puts it, and really wraps it around. Verse 5, "After that He poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded." Now as you study this practice from this time, that job of washing feet at dinner after walking in sandals all day and getting your feet all dirty, and they sat lower to the ground. They kind of sat on the ground and their feet were kind of, you know, close to each other, so they're pretty nasty. So the lowliest of the servants in the house would get up and gird himself, get that towel wrapped, and wash the feet. So just imagine, as these disciples who believe that Jesus is God, the Savior, the Messiah, He's the one that gets up. And I bet you it got pretty awkward in there for a few minutes. A little quiet as the disciples are just kind of watching, like, what's He doing? You know, what's going on here? And Jesus begins to wash the disciples' feet. The job of the lowliest servant. And because it was a private dinner, just them, there was no servants there. So Jesus is the one that got up and began to wash their feet. Look at verse 6. "Then cometh He to Simon Peter." Simon Peter, the disciple of few words. No, not so much. Not at all. "And Peter saith unto Him," probably the first one that opened his mouth, "Peter said, Lord, dost thou wash?" You're washing my feet? You're going to wash me? I should be washing your feet. He said, "Dost thou wash my feet?" In verse 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Verse 8, "Peter saith unto Him, thou shalt never wash my feet." I don't think He was saying it disrespectfully. He was just saying, listen, you shouldn't be doing this for me. I should be doing it for you. I should be washing your feet. You never wash my feet. And in verse 8, Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." So then Peter obviously flips it around. Verse 9, Simon Peter saith unto Him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Just wash all of me." Verse 10, Jesus saith to him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all." In verse 11, "For He knew who should betray Him. Therefore said He, you're not all clean." He's talking about Judas Iscariot, who would betray Him. Verse 12, So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was sat down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? So Jesus is always teaching something. I think it's just awesome. Even as we read his word, he's always teaching us something. He said, Know ye what I have done to you? Verse 13, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. Verse 14, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. He tells them that that's what they need to do. Verse 15, For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. He was being their example. He's an example to us as we read this story. If the Savior of the world can bend down and humble himself and as the Bible says, take upon himself the form of a servant and wash their feet, then they should be able to do the same thing. The disciples should be able to do that and serve others. Verse 16, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Verse 17, oh, what a great verse. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Jesus said, listen, if you can serve, if you can do what I've done for you, humble yourself and serve others, and you'll find happiness. Find happiness. I love serving God. I love it. I think it's the greatest thing in the world. Not only do I love it, but I even get paid to do it as a youth pastor. It's the best. If you know me at all, I hope you'd say amen to this, that I love my job. Ooh, I want to try the pastor thing while he's gone, right? I love my job. Amen. Do you need to use both hands? Is that what it is? I don't know. Is it right or left? But either way, listen, I love my job. It's the greatest joy. I had the opportunity to have a great youth pastor that led me to serve people, to serve other people. And growing up as a teenager, we served in the bus ministry, which was always a huge blessing. I loved serving in the bus ministry. Really, the teenagers at Mountain View Baptist Church really ran the bus ministry. They would go out on Saturdays and visit their areas. It wasn't really built like Jackson is built. It was more built kind of... lots of government projects and apartment complexes, and even downtown Holyoke was big high-rise, not high-rise, but five floors of apartments, and it was in the ghetto. And we'd go down there, and we would knock on, we'd visit our kid, we'd knock new doors, and on Sunday mornings, every Sunday morning, Marissa and I and our friends in youth group, we would go like 8 in the morning, and they'd drop us off in these areas, and we would knock all the doors of the kids on our list, wake them up, get them ready for the bus, and then we'd wait in the corner. And then the bus, really, all the bus had to do was just drive, and all our, we call ourselves runners. We'd have the kids right on. It had about 5 or 6 areas. And, man, I loved doing that growing up. I mean, sometimes the kids were bratty, but we loved them anyway. And I was shorter then, so I was kind of intimidated by some of those kids, but not anymore. So watch it, okay? So, No, but then, growing up after that, Pastor Rich went to take the position at Harvest Baptist, and I got to start a bus teen class as an older teenager and preach to them every week, play guitar, sing with them. And I loved doing that. It was so awesome to see these kids come. And I think of two of those young men right now. They started in that little trailer class out off side of the church, kind of a little trail they had for Sunday school rooms. And one of those young men right now, with the help, obviously, the grace of God, but also Brother Miller was his youth pastor after I left. And he's actually a youth pastor for Brother Stephen Russ in Indiana, one of these young men that was in that class. His brother, they both got saved and grew, and he actually took over for me when I left Mountain View. He's a children's director now, just this bus teenager that, man, got saved and the Lord used him. I mean, I love that kind of stuff. When I went to college, I got to be a bus captain, and that was a huge blessing. I loved doing that, and all over California, San Jose, picking up kids, and had my bus workers. When I got back, I got to be song leader for the first time in Holyoke. Our song leader had left, and I just kind of got thrust into it, and loved doing that. And then I got to be children's pastor at Mountain View and run all the bus stuff, and that was a blast as well. And now I get to be the youth pastor at Loomis Park Baptist Church. Oh, man, it's going to be a rough morning, isn't it?
I love it. I love to serve God. And you say, well, Pastor Tom, those are all like ministry positions. Listen, it doesn't have to be in the ministry to serve God and to enjoy serving God. Even as a Sunday school helper, I loved it. Even as a bus helper, not running the bus, but just helping on the bus, I loved it. As a soul winner, as a teenager, that's not a ministry position. That's just a Christian position. It's soul winning. Man, I love doing that. I love doing the nursing home ministries and singing in the choir. I love to serve God. I love to help other people and encourage others to serve God. It is the greatest joy ever. Look back at verse 14. Verse 14, Jesus is talking, and he says this. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. So, this morning, that's what I'm going to do. Drake, can you come up here, buddy? Could you take off your shoes and socks? And don't get mad, I don't get new carpet, but it's to be all right. Hey, trust me, pastor's gone, right? So we'll be all right. Sit right here, take off your shoes and socks, buddy. And I am going this morning, because Jesus said I needed to, I am going to wash this young man's feet. Is that all right with you folks? Good, because if you said no, I'd still do it. Okay? All right, buddy. Here, let me take this one right here. And just so people don't get fussy, because that'll happen, we're going to put a towel right here. And even if it did spill, it's just soapy water, so it's clean. So I'm going to wash this young man's feet. Jesus said, hey, I'm your example. And so do ye. He said, if you do these things, you'll be happy. And looking at this kid's feet, I don't know how happy I'm going to be, but Jesus said I needed to do it, and let's put these far over here, as to I don't pass out in the middle of my message, okay? And let's do what Jesus said to do, okay? Let's do. Is that all right with you? You got any corns? Any bunions? Okay. All right. Now I hope, I don't know how many of you have ever washed somebody's feet before, but it's really not that hard. You go up in the sole, in between the toes, if you can. Okay, any lint that you find, you can save it and sew with it if you'd like. Toenail clippings, all that good stuff. Don't go too. You can right to the ankle area, and there's 1 foot. Pretty good. Smells better than it did when I started. Okay, and let's get some clean water. And listen, this is what Jesus told me to do. So I'm just doing what he said. Wash those feet. And really, I wish I had time to do everybody, but I can just do one today. Sorry. So keep your shoes on, folks, please. All right. All right. Now you sit here, buddy. We may redo this. Okay. Let those dry for a minute. Okay. Got my, I got to gird myself, like he said, and we're ready to go. Now listen. Was that what Jesus meant? That's good, because I don't really like washing feet. It was one of Jesus' simple yet profoundly powerful illustrations. He was so awesome at that. All the parables he told and the illustrations he gave. It was just an illustration he was using. So what did he really mean to do? Why don't you go to Psalms real quick? Drake, you stay right there, buddy. You're going to sit there probably most of the sermon, so appreciate it. Psalm 100. We're going to return to a few passages real quick. Sure, buddy, go ahead. Psalm 100. Look at verse 2 when you get there. Psalm 100 and verse 2 says this. Here's some pages turn out. I don't want to pull a Steve Miller and start reading when everybody's still turning. Psalm 100 verse 2. Says this, serve the Lord with gladness. It's pretty simple to understand. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Go over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. It's all right to turn in our Bibles on Sunday morning. If you got a King James Bible, say amen. 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 Romans chapter 12. And let's get there as quickly as possible. In verse 1, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'm going to read one more verse. If you can get there with me, great. 1 Samuel chapter 12. If not, I'll just read it when I get there. 1 Samuel chapter 12. What was Jesus getting at? What was He trying to explain to us? What did He really want us to do? 1 Samuel chapter 12. This is my pastor, my first pastor, Pastor Jerry Cleveland. This was his life verse. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24 says, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you." What did God mean when He said, "Do what I'm doing"? Serving others. The title of the message is this. It's serve God, love others, and then love God, serve others. They go hand in hand. If you want to serve God, then you have to love others. And if you want to love God and show Him that love, you'll serve other people. It goes hand in hand. Jesus said, "Do what I've done. Humble yourself and serve other people." That is the Christian life. Yes, glorifying and worshiping God and living our life. But listen, to live for God is to live for other people. To give of yourself to other people. So just a few questions this morning in regards to this thought of serving God and doing unto others and serving others. Who do we look for? Number one, who do we look for? 1 John 4:7-8, I can quote this: "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." One another includes everybody. Beloved, let us love one another. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And look down at verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. It says this: "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Serving other people. So who do we look for? Well, it's the young teenager that just started coming. This is Drake. He just started coming a few weeks ago. I want to live for Drake. I want to serve Drake. Now listen, I don't really want to wash his feet. But I want to, he doesn't want me to either. But I want to help Drake. I want to serve Drake. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm not meaning as a servant, but I want to live my life for this young man, help him. It's for the young bus kid that sits up on the front row here. That's who we're looking for. These kids who don't have much of a home at all. And you know this, we talk about it almost every week. They don't have much of a home at all. Listen, it's them. That's who we're looking for. It's for the widow who just lost her husband and who's struggling, depressed, and discouraged. It's for the young father who's trying to raise his kids right but doesn't really know what to do. For the senior saint who feels like they can't be used anymore. And feels like they really have nothing to offer anymore. For the drug addict who has this addiction that he just can't seem to get victory over. Or the drunk who just is just trying to have a good time but it never ends up being a good time. It's for the kid who gets picked on at school. On and on we could go. Teenagers, it's for your friends at school who have tough lives. Our teenagers will give prayer requests Wednesday nights, and some of them say, "Man, one young lady last week said, 'Pray for my friend. She was just diagnosed with cancer, and they're giving her like 2 months to live.'" My goodness. Teenagers, you can help other people too. You know that, right? It's not just for the adults. You can help other people. You can serve other people at your school. Teenagers, it's for your parents. That's who you should be looking for, your parents. Serving your parents and living for your parents. Parents, for your children. Who are we looking for? The cashier at Meijer, as we're getting our groceries. We don't know how their day's been. We don't know what their life's all about. Even your enemies, your neighbors, you live next to for years and years, don't know a thing about. Your spouse, if you're married. On and on and on we go. Anybody at all. Who are we looking for, Pastor Dell? When we're talking about serving others, who are we talking about? We're talking about anybody at all. Doesn't it? Yes, obviously the ones who have those outward, visible problems, yes, it's easy to help them because we know what they're dealing with. But it's even for those who don't make it as visible. For those with the inward strife and the inward problems and the inward depression and discouragement, those people too, that's who we should be looking for. Who are we looking for? And once we figure out who we're looking for, which is anybody, and every one of us, if we stopped and thought for a moment, we could think of probably countless people who need help. If you're a member of this church, you definitely can. I hope you would not just be so concerned with ourselves that we're missing out on everybody else's seeing what they're going through. Every one of them. I can look around this room right now and pan the crowd, and personally I know some of your struggles because you shared them with me or we've been praying for you about them. Listen, everybody's got something going on. That's who we're looking for. So once we find who we're looking for, then what do we do? Okay, well, this is what we do. So what we do. Wash their feet? No, we don't wash their feet. But we serve them. We help them. We humble ourselves. Not everybody likes to do that. I don't like to do that all the time. I like myself a little bit. Folks, come on, let's just be real today. Amen. We can be selfish without even knowing it sometimes. We serve them. Galatians chapter 5, go there. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, and verse 13. Let's look at it. It says, "For brethren," verse 13, "for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love," what's the next word?
Serve.
What's the next word?
Serve.
Serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We're just doing what Jesus did. In the passage, in our text, in John 13, we're just doing what he said to do. We're just doing what he did. Verses 14 and 15, he says, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." We're just doing what Jesus did. We are humbling ourselves. We're humbling ourselves. We're getting down off of our pedestals, which we can be on without knowing sometimes. And we get down off that, and we bend down, and we get our hands a little dirty, and we find somebody that we can help, and we wash their feet, and we serve them, and we help them, and we give. We give. We give of our time. Oh my goodness. We give of our time. We give of our Saturdays. We give of our Sunday nights or whatever it may be. We give of our time. It's humility. We give of our time and we serve someone else. We give not just of our time, we give of our energy. Listen, you think it's serving other people is going to have... No, it takes energy. A dear lady in our church shared with me something. She serves in a ministry of our church with children, and she's always investing in lives and helping people out. She said, "You know, sometimes I feel like I'm empty." She said, "I feel like I'm empty." She said, "But thankfully I can pray and ask God, He'll fill me again." I said, "Man, that's a great, I mean, it's so obvious. I should have known." But yes, because you know what? As a youth pastor, sometimes when we are investing in lives and picking people up and calling people and sending out text messages and writing letters and talking to people and counseling people and doing all these things, sometimes I feel, whoa, I am just out. I am just out of whatever I had before. I'm done. I'm empty. I say, "Lord, please fill me." And you know what? It's usually I feel the emptiest. I'm like the Wednesday night as I'm getting ready to get in the bus to go pick up kids. And I'm like, "Man, I'm tired. I'm wiped." Say, "Well, Pastor John, what do you do all day?" "None of your business." No, listen, we get empty. We get empty, folks. And I know as you get older, the empty, the whatever starts to fill up quicker. And you feel like you have no energy. You feel like you do one thing and you're just, oh, listen. is sacrifice. We give of our time. We humble ourselves. Philippians chapter 2. Can you go there? Philippians chapter 2. I hope this is helping somebody this morning, because we need to serve others. We're surrounded by people who need us. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Not meaning you think you're a big doofus and that you're an idiot. Not like lowliness, oh, I'm such a loser. No, but humility. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. The problem with America today is not the drugs, it's not the alcohol, it's not homosexuality, it is pride. It's pride. The problem in Baptist churches today is pride. Hey, the problem with Pastor Donald today is pride. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Your needs are more important than mine. Ooh, that sounds bad, isn't it? Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
That's hard sometimes. Because you know what? The truth of the matter is, many of you have some very serious needs. Listen, I don't have a lot of negativity going on in my life. I have an awesome life. I love my life. I love my wife. I love my kids. We're healthy. Things are great. I had a great job. But some of you have some serious needs, health difficulties, family problems, all these things going on. You have some very serious needs, but the Bible still says, let each esteem other better than themselves. In verse 4, look not every man on his own things. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So listen, it doesn't say forget completely about yourself. It says, listen, it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Yes, we need to, listen, if we got needs, we need to figure those things, but listen, we need to esteem others better than ourselves. And not just focus on us. It's very easy to do that. It's very easy for me to do that sometimes. To focus on what I want, on my needs, on my desires, and to forget about everybody else who needs help. Everybody. Everyone. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Jesus said it in verse 17. It's a cure for discouragement right there. It's serving other people. We give. We give of our time. We give of our energy. We give of our love. We give of our compassion. Have you noticed that I haven't said money yet? I'm all for people. Listen, to everybody who gives to the youth group, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, 1,000 more times. Thank you for all the donations that you give. It means the absolute world to me. It has helped us greatly over the years. But it's not the most important. It's not the most important. It's not the most important. I would rather you keep your $5,000 and come out and go soul winning. I would rather have you take your $25 and put it towards missions and come out and serve with the youth group or helping the kids' ministries, whatever it may be. Money is not the most important. And listen, I understand that we need money, and money is important in some aspects when you're trying to buy things. Yes, it is. You can't just go in and say, I love you so much, now give it to me. No, you got to pay for it. I get that. But what I'm talking about is it's the least important. When you're giving, give of yourself. You give of your time. You give of the energy. Even if it's just a little bit of energy that you have left, you give it to other people. Galatians chapter 6. And verse 9, if you don't get there, just listen, but we're close by. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-giving. Oh, well-doing. Well-doing. Do. It's a verb. Do. We're going to do something. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, thank God for this, we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do after we find that person to help? We help. We give of ourselves. We give of our time. We give of our compassion. We give of our love and our energy and whatever else we can give. Listen, we give it. And we serve other people. We help them. And in us helping them, it strengthens them and helps them to be able to help other people. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We were there earlier. What do? We give. Romans chapter 12. I'm almost done. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. Don't miss this. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living what? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, sacrifice? Just go back to Old Testament time. That sacrifice probably didn't feel very good for the thing being sacrificed. Whatever it was, that goat, that lamb. One moment they're frolicking around the meadows, the next moment they're not. Sacrifice doesn't always feel good. Giving of your time and energy, you're not going to come out of that like, ready to go for the next one. No, you're going to be tired. It's sacrifice. You know what the most dangerous place for a Christian to be is? The most dangerous place a Christian can be. It's not the bar. It's not the rock concert. It's not the drug houses. The most dangerous place that a Christian can be is their comfort zone. Think about that. Their comfort zone. Where things are easy, peasy, lemon squeezy. Life is good. Things are great. I'm happy, so that should mean something, right? I'm in my comfort zone and it's comfortable. It's the most dangerous place for a Christian to can be. Because you're not sacrificing. You're not sacrificing when you're in the comfort zone. No. Sacrifices don't always feel good. But they're worth it. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. So we don't want to leave our comfort zone. Hey, I don't want to leave my comfort zone sometimes. Being up here in the platform preaching is not my comfort zone, not at all. I love doing it, but it's not my comfort zone. No, I'd rather be sitting where you're at saying amen. Amen? Yeah, there we go. We don't want to leave our comfort zone. Some of you have been stuck in your comfort zone for years. You haven't accomplished anything for Christ. And I could be right there. I could be in the same spot. Any one of us can. I'm not trying to bash you this morning. I'm not trying to do that at all. I'm trying to get you to realize that Jesus commanded us to help other people, to serve other people, to esteem others better than ourselves. That is what I'm trying to get the point across this morning. To live for other people. When we don't leave our comfort zone, we don't accomplish anything for God. We don't accomplish anything for God. That's the bottom line. That's the truth. When we stay in our comfort zone, we're not going to accomplish anything great for God. To command. We must be in the business of serving other people. We must be. No matter if we're a teenager or a senior saint, we must be in the business of serving other people. And especially in this age bracket, right here, in the 20s and 30s. My goodness, should we be serving? We were at the peak. We got the energy. We got the... And listen, I understand some of us, you work many hours and you do... Listen, I understand that, but that's why it's called sacrifice. What are we supposed to do when we find these people? Yes, we found them. We found them. We found the young teenager. We found the widow. We found whoever we talked about earlier who we're looking for. So then what do? Like I said, you know, it's as simple as picking up that teenager for church. Talking to him on the ride. And it doesn't have to be just a youth pastor. Ask him how his week went. Hey, it's seeing that bus kid Sunday morning, that little bus kid that won't shut up during the song service, and it's giving him a hug. Well, I understand we're not, listen, we're not supposed to hug the kids. I understand what that, I understand why we, but listen, it's about showing you love, that little guy. Say, hey, buddy, I'm glad to see you in church today. That's, you see the illustration I'm doing right now? You see, do you understand it? You're humbling yourself. It's about inviting that single mom out for coffee and just talking to her. Hey, it's about inviting that young couple over, senior saints. About inviting that young couple over that's newly married and just spending some time with them and sharing some of your wisdom without them even asking. Because believe me, we'd love to hear it. Okay? That's humbling yourself. That's serving other people. Hey, it's about instead of looking down on that drug addict that comes to church. And listen, I'm not saying we do it on purpose. I understand we have to be careful. I understand all that. But it's about reaching out. It's about helping. You're humbling yourself. Teenager, it's about coming home from school. Instead of running off and hanging out with your buddies, it's about spending some time with your parents. Tell them that you love them. Hey, maybe saying, hey, mom, dad, why don't you guys go out for the night? I'll watch the little brothers and sisters. Why don't you guys go out and get some dinner? Parents, it's about instead of getting upset at everything our kid does, which, listen, yes, we're raising kids. I understand we have to be parents, but it's about spending some time with them one-on-one. And listen, they may not want to all the time. Listen, I remember how I was a teenager, but it's about serving others. It's about helping. It's about humbling ourselves. It's about doing what Jesus did. Bringing a cake to your neighbor with a track in it. Say, hey, just want to let you know, glad you're our neighbor. And come visit us anytime at the church. We'd love to have you. Here's a cake. Now listen, if you can't cook, don't bring him a cake. Buy one at Meijer and bring it to him. But listen, you see what I'm getting at here? So being out Saturday for soul winning, that's serving other people. People you don't even know. Giving out the gospel. That's what Jesus said. Do what I'm doing. Serve other people. Live for somebody else. When you come on Saturday morning for visitation and soul winning, whether you're visiting someone, we spent most of the day yesterday with the Stevens family. Brother Stevens is dying. Very close. They're giving him 48 hours. And me and Brother Kelly went over for a little while in the morning. Then we went home and I picked up my wife and the kids. My wife took care of the Stevens for a while when they were living at home. And we went over and spent some time with the Stevens. Listen, I'm not patting myself on the back. No, we wanted to go. We love the Stevens. We love their kids. They're close to us. But listen, it's about living for somebody else. It's about living for somebody else. People need it. People need you. People need you. Do you realize that? Sunday school teacher, people need you. Those kids need you. They need you. They need your love. They need your energy. They need your time. When they're not there on Sunday, they need you to call them on Monday and say, hey, where were you? I missed you. They need to see you on Saturday. Say, hey, will you come to Sunday school tomorrow? They need to see you. They need to see your love and compassion. Some of us can give by praying too. And it's not just, listen, it's not just about praying. Anybody can pray and give. Anybody can give. I understand some people can give, but it's more than that. But those are things too. You can pray. Doing whatever it takes to reach somebody. Go back to our text, John. We're almost done. Closing it down. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. What else, when we're serving others, what else are we doing? Look at John 13 and verse 4. Jesus is right when he gets up. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, look at this, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So I got my towel that's girded right here. And you wash, yes, you wash, you serve others, you help. You do what you're supposed to do. You do what Jesus said. And then you know what you do? You take something. You take something that's close to you. And I try to understand this illustration. You take something that's important to you, that's close to you, that's girded to you right here, and you give it to somebody else. give it to somebody else. See, Pastor John, I like my family time Saturday morning. Hey, I'm all for family time. Family is important. Family is important to me. So you know what I'll do? I'll take what's important to me and I'll share it with somebody else. And I'll take my family out visiting. I'll teach my kids that it's the right thing and it pleases God to invest in other people. That's what I want to do. I'll take money. That's an important thing. We gotta have money to pay bills. I'll take that. That's important to me, and I'll give it away. Hey, you know what? I work 70 hours a week. Man, what little time I have is very important. And yes, it is important. It doesn't mean we got to keep it all to ourselves. I don't know how this is going over. I don't really care. Jesus told us, commanded us, take what's important, take what's close to us and give it. Give it to others. So who do we look for? I talked about that. What do we do when we find them? Yes, I talked about that. But the last question, where are they? Where are these people? Where are they? You know what? They're all around us. They're in this church. They're in this church. They're sitting the pew behind you, in front of you. They're down in class. They're your neighbors. They're next door to you. They're in line in front of you at Meijer. Everywhere. That's where they are. All around us. And you know what? So often, we don't see them. We don't realize that other people need us. Because we're blinded by pride. We're blinded by selfishness. We're blinded by our own fleshly desires. God help us. God help me to not be blinded from that, but to look around and say, you know what? I can be a help. I can be a help. I can be a help. I can love. I can care. I can invest. I can... The list goes on and on. May every one of us be able to look around this room, look around our workplaces and say, man, I can be a help. I can be an encouragement. I can be a light in a dark world. And I can help somebody else. I can give somebody else hope. I can give somebody else peace. Listen, I can give somebody else the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can serve other people. And they're waiting for us. They're waiting for us to find them and say, hey, man, let me help you out with something. Let me help you out with something. Hey, you know what? I had some other plans, but let me just help you out with something. Let me do this. Let me do that. Whatever it may be. Listen, I want to help you out because I love you. Because Jesus said to love one another, and I want to help you and serve you. He said to do what He did, so I want to help you. I want to be an encouragement to you. Where's my towel? I want to be a blessing to you. Oh yeah, here it is. Listen, I'll take what's important to me, and I'll give it to you, and I'll get your feet all dry. Listen, I want to help you out. I want to give. I want to do what Jesus said. I want to be like Him. Lord, please help me to be like You. Serve other people. In due season you'll reap if you faint not. Due season you'll reap if you faint not. Last passage, Luke chapter 6, and we'll be done. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, we'll read verses 30, verse 34 to verse 34. Luke chapter 6, look at verse 30 with me. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? What's the big deal? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? What's the big deal? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he's kind and unthankful unto the evil. Listen, may we give and give and give and give of our time and give of our energy and give of our love and give of our compassion and all those other things. May we give, not expecting anything in return, but doing it to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. God will bless us. Find somebody to help. Find somebody to help. Everyone in this room, please, find somebody you can help and invest in. It's not above you. It's not below you. Find somebody to help. I'm not really good talking to people. I don't. Find somebody to help. Find someone to invest in and give to. Listen, get a ministry to serve in. I was just talking to a man this morning in our church who serves. And we said this, and it's the truth. We are always, 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 always short on helpers, I feel like. We're running out. Who can help? Who can help? Many of you serve. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your service. Many of you teach and truth trackers and Sunday school. Praise God. Security team, thank you so much. Nursery choir. Down the list goes. But listen, every one of us can do more. And if we're not doing anything, every one of us can do something. I don't think Brother Leonard would be upset if he said, hey, can I come join the choir? Because you know what happens when you join the choir? Sure, it may seem like not that much, but what you're doing is you're standing up here and you're coming to practice and you're learning these songs and you're singing them out so you can be a blessing to yourself, no, to somebody else. It's a ministry of serving other people. Amen, Brother Leonard? Yes, it is. It's serving other people. The nursery, serving other people. The bus ministry, helping out as a bus worker on Wednesdays or Sundays, that's helping other people. Coming out soul winning on Saturdays, that's helping other people. Working in any of the Truth Trackers programs or in the security, it's helping other people. It's investing in lives. Get a ministry to serve in. Please, get a ministry. The harvest is truly plenty, the laborers are few. Find somewhere to serve. And when you do, give everything to it. Give your all. Senior saint, give your all. Don't feel like you can't be used, because you can be used. Give your all. A young 20-something, 20 to 30, my age group, listen, you please find a ministry. I know we're raising kids. I know we got little ones. I get that. Listen, I got three of them. But find somewhere to serve. Find somebody to invest in. Find someone to help and to love and to encourage. It's just following Jesus. Jesus said it in that passage in John chapter 13, the last verse that we read together, John chapter 13 and verse 17, Jesus said this. He said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. If you're discouraged today, if you're sad, if you're downtrodden, if you have no hope, let me tell you what the cure for that is. Helping and serving other people. If you know these things and do them, happy are ye. Serving other people. May we serve other people. May we do what Jesus said. May we follow His example and serve others. Serve God and love others. Love God and serve others. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are